Go to Judges chapter 6. From verse 11. Today, we are going to talk about the art of saying yes. So this was like a perfect song. So because we'll have to go through the sermon so you can see why I'm saying the art of saying yes, because when we say yes to the Lord, it should be instant. It should be now. We should say, yes, Lord, let's go for it. But I was questioning this topic, for good reason, because it looked like I was a little bit disobedient, because, it's not just a simple yes. I don't think it's always that easy, but it's important to get to the yes. So there's an art to this, I think, but we'll find out as we go along. So in Judges chapter 6, from verse 11, it says the following. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Oprah, not Winfrey, that belonged to Joash, and another long name, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then Gideon replies, "Pardon me, Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength. The strength you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So Gideon replies, he says, "Pardon me, Lord. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest." Doesn't this also sound like Moses? When Moses had to go and free the Israelites out of Egypt. "Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." Now you can, this is not just a yes, this is a long yes, it's coming. But it's building up to becoming a yes eventually. But Gideon is not just saying, "Yes, Lord, you have spoken, I will be going." Gideon is taking the long route to get to the yes. And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on a rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and with the tip of his staff that was in his hand, fire flared from the rock. Sounds like fire from a bush as well. Fire flared from a rock. Consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it stands in Oprah. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of the, on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night. Yes, Lord, but at night, rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal. That day saying, let Baal contend with him. And if we read forward, we will read about the fleeces. Gideon still going on, still trying to make sure that God is the one speaking to him. So Gideon continues to make sure, because Gideon is like many of us. We just want to make sure. Yes, Lord, I can. And look, somebody asked me a question during this week. I think Pa also asked me the same question. It was the second time I was asked the very same question. How long have you been here in the Fault Triangle? And if my memory serves me right, and I did my maths correctly, it's been 31 years. I've been here 31 years. And we had an auditor from Egypt. Also, he asked me the very same question. I don't know why he asked me the question. I said 31 years. So for some other reason, I'm being confronted with how long I've been here. And I'm still trying to figure out why this is so. But let me tell you how I ended up here, because this morning, as I was trying to get out of the sermon, and as I was trying to get to church, somewhere in between, in my spirit, I was asked the very same question. And I thought, this is becoming quite familiar. But let me reminisce on how I ended up here before I can answer why I'm here. Because sometimes that is a little bit difficult. I sometimes feel like a Gideon who says, yes, Lord, but if it is you, you need to give me something to work on. Because it's very difficult with the climate, the management, the town, we can come up with various excuses before we actually start. Is this the right thing? Of late, I'm confronted with sexual harassment, Lord. You know, sexual harassment in the workplace is a real thing. So I know what you are saying, but sexual harassment is a real thing here. So I can go and I can go give that lady a hug, but darn, Lord, sexual harassment. You know, we want to, there's lots of things that we find to kind of, we want to make sure, we want God to come and say, right now, don't worry, nobody's looking. But the fact is, when I first ended up here, and I think if we look at, before we get there, I think there's something else I must share with you. So let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 4. Then I'll tell you the story. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 17. Says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now Jesus is busy. He's now taking up his ministry for what he's been called. And says, the kingdom. Because Jesus knew. He was the one who, he's the Son of God. He's come. He's there for a purpose. He's been called. He said, yes, Lord. And here he said to the Father, I will go. And there he is. And now the kingdom of the heaven is near. And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to become fishers of people at once. This is not a Gideon story. This is a Simon Peter story. This is not a Gideon story. At once, says the Bible, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father. Awesome news. They're busy fishing, casting out the nets. Here comes Jesus. He says, no, come and follow me. Wow, what an invitation. Jesus is starting his journey. He's calling his disciples. What an invitation. And he says, they left their father. If I left my father working there, yeah, I was afraid he would get a club at that time. But they left their father because here comes, it's Jesus. He's walking in the authority that the Father has given him. Surrounding him is an atmosphere that nobody can refuse. It's impossible because when Christ is there, it's yes, Lord. It's not maybe this or maybe that. The disciples just decide, let me go and do this. And then if we go to the story of Samson and Delilah, and we know that Samson was also called. And we fixated on the Delilah issue because I've sat in church and the minister would preach, be careful of Delilah. I'm thinking, you must be careful of Delilah. And I think he misses the point. He misses the reality because while Samson is standing there, the biggest crowd is in there. Philistines, the enemy's there. They're filling the stadium. And in one single act, when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, destroys the enemy. And we're fixated on Delilah. And we think that Samson has failed. He's calling, but he hasn't failed. In fact, God works out all things for the good. You see, this yes is sometimes we get caught up with many things. My first year within Sasselburg, it was tough. Came here on the 28th of January, and I found it very difficult in my first year. Thank God I found a church. First church hopping, and I ended up here. And one can speculate any way we want to, and I'm sharing this story only for one point, and I'll make it after this. We can speculate any way we want to. But it was very quickly when I started getting involved in the youth ministry here. I came from a ministry. I was involved with young people when I was still a teenager. I was involved. I love young people. I have such a passion and a love for young people. Because that sometimes you find them caught up into things. They don't have direction. And God needs to speak into their lives. And just, I've been blessed to see how many young people, when they walk their lives today, they can give glory to God. And when you look at the history, they will still tell you that they still can't believe where they are. And then many times, a lot of the guys would come and say, girls will come and say, if it wasn't for you, I said, no. If it wasn't for God, you guys get it wrong. If it wasn't for God. So I'm sitting here for a year and I'm going home and it's tough. Work is tough. I've got family, all my loved ones, and I've got everybody in Cape Town. I come from Cape Town. I mean, who wouldn't want to stay in Cape Town? You ask me the same question today. I say, no, I don't want to go back to Cape Town. You ask me today. I always said, whenever I spoke to somebody, I said, no, I come from the land of milk and honey. I come from Cape Town. Today, through many years ago already, I came to the conclusion that's not so. But anyway, end of the year, I'm going on holiday, so you need a sigh of relief. I'm out of Sasselburg. I'm gone. Thank goodness, at least for 3 weeks. I don't have to contend with Sasselburg. Go to Cape Town, and the Lord starts speaking to me about my attitude. He says, you keep on asking, you keep on praying, you keep on saying, Lord, your will be done. But you are fighting the very will that I have for you. Why are you fighting? I said, but Lord, look at what I've left behind. You know, it doesn't make it easy when you get to Cape Town, because now everybody wants to see you when you're reminded of what you had. And you think, oh, lovely, I want to back to this. Everybody misses me. Yeah. Hey, I tell you, when you're young, you sometimes miss the boat completely. And so and it becomes busy, you know. It's Cape Town, it's family, you see everybody. And I remember one night, I just needed to speak to the Lord, because I was just uneasy. It was nice being in Cape Town, not a family, but I was uneasy. So I drove off to Musenberg, which I've done as a young person numerous times in my life. There's a boardwalk. I went to the sit there right at the end of the boardwalk. Way, way over there. Because now God is busy pestering me about. So yes, I've called you by name. You are mine. I've called you to Sasselburg. You are keeper of fighting this. And I said, but Lord. So eventually, I give in. So now I become like Gideon. I'll never judge, because I've become like Gideon. So I said, okay, Lord, that is fine. That is fine. Just take note that it was here in the middle of the night. It was late. And I said, you're calling me to work with young people, but I tell you what. I'm sitting at the end of the boardwalk, very little light. Nobody will walk there. And so now I think I'm safe. And I don't sit on top of the boardwalk either. I'm sitting there at the bottom. Sitting there, and I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, if you are talking to me to go to Sasselburg, and I tell you what you do, I'm sitting right here now. If you're calling me to work with young people, I'm sitting here right now. So if I'm sitting here, you will send somebody for me to minister. Who am I? I'm working with young people. So I think you're clever. I'm thinking I'm clever now. Say, Father, now I've given you something that you will not be able to do, because it's in the middle of the night. What sane young person walks around here in the middle of the night? Send me somebody to minister to tonight. Then I know. And I'm sitting, and it's 5 minutes. A young lady walks by. About your age walks by. And she comes, sits there. And I think, okay, but this is still not ministering. You see? You have to wait. You have to wait what happens. And then she starts to talk, and I have this conversation with her. I realized that she needs someone to talk to. And not just one person, two. So God says, well, you might be asking me for another person, let me bring them both at the same time. So two young ladies sitting there. And I had the opportunity to minister to them. And I sat there and I realized that God is awesome. In spite of my disbelief, in spite of my disobedience, in spite of me, God has a plan. I'm part of that plan. But because of my constant moaning and groaning, and because of my disobedience, God allows two young people. I did not fully understand the magnitude of what God did then. Because there would be no parent that would allow their kids after 10 at night to walk that side of the beach and everything like that. And I'm very specific in my request. And I realized today maybe more than ever so that I've asked what I would have deemed the impossible, but God brought two young people for me to minister to, and the magnitude of that, the magnitude of God moving all things in order to call me into a ministry, at that point I didn't realize the magnitude of that. Because if we look at Gideon's life, if we look at what, and by the way, just to tell you, 31 years later, I'm still here. I'm still in Joam. You don't see the Sunday school because at a point we think it's Sunday school and youth, but it goes beyond that. We will still ask God for what about the Sunday school and the youth? But God has showed me a different in this time. God has showed me a different kind of ministry that I needed to get in. And the question begs is, do I have to, if I come to a certain maturity in my life, when God speaks, so this is about maturing in your walk with God. Pastor Bram has been preaching a lot about the grace that we receive, the grace that is given to us, that the grace to be able to reach out to others, because it's not just my grace. The grace that I receive is not just for me. The grace that I receive is because I need to step out into the ministry. Jesus walks along the beach and says, Simon Peter, follow me. The same call is to you and me, the very same call. It says, Jesus is saying to us, follow me. Why? Because there are others that are destitute. There are others that are in need. There are others that need to be saved. There are others that are lost. There are others that are heartbroken. There are others that are going through things that they feel that they cannot get out of. And it's through the grace of God that God will reach and touch. And God is calling us to reach out and touch and make that difference. We are His disciples. We have been called by name. We are His. We belong. See, so I'm starting to question sometimes my decision making. And I'm sharing this with you because I'm nowhere close to being obedient. I'm obedient. But Lord, many times I still ask the question. It's easier now to be obedient. It's easier now to ask the question. It's easier now to say, yes, Lord, but it becomes a journey. The important thing is, in our walk with God, is to say yes. If Moses refused, God would find someone else to free the Israelites. You see, but Moses had a calling. Moses was raised for this. Moses was predestined for this very journey where he had to free the Israelites. This was his calling.
You see, this calling is different for all of us. If I want God to part the sea, just so that I can, because I read it in the Bible, you see, it's in the Bible. God can, I might have to pick up a stick somewhere, and I have to put it on the water, say, Father, if you part this water, then I can, allow me to walk in, then I will do what you see, the journey is different for each and every one of us. It's not the same. It would be, I'm looking for a word, it would be futile for me to walk in the shoes of Moses. Because Moses' journey is different from mine. If I first want to be appointed as king over whatever, my name is not David. I'm not called as a king like David. If I want to be Simon Peter, say, Lord, I'm going to stand by the sea. I'm going to make as if I'm catching fish. Lord, send someone and say, I'm calling you. This is not my journey. Our journeys are different in this walk that we're walking, but we for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We understand that well as children of God. We understand the great commission in Matthew chapter 28. The question that is asked is, will I say yes? That's the question. Will I say yes? The more I say yes, what I've learned through the years, the more I say yes, the greater things in my life happen. Nothing is easy. Let me tell you, there will come obstacles. There will come days that you feel that I just cannot. But Pastor Bram last week, he said, by the grace of God, he's given us everything. See, if God has called us, God has given everything. Everything, all the provision. God has given all the provision. Whether it be, and we always think of provision being financial. I shared with you in the last time that I was sharing the word, I sat with one of the ladies that I shared with, where I went to go visit her in the hospital in the psychiatric ward, where I was just ministering to her there. And in this week, she calls me and she says, you know, these days, if she takes it to work, she says, if I have to put in this proposal or this e-doc, before I send it off, I say, Father, let your will be done in this. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, she walks in the office, very proud, she's smiling. It was unlike the person that I got to know when she first moved to our department. She's smiling. She says, no matter what decisions gets made, sometimes I might not agree. But you know, when I do what I do, I pray into this. I say, Father, your will be done. And I'm standing there and I'm in awe and I say, you know, say, you'll learn. That is awesome. Say, now you're teaching me. So whenever I write something, I should be more aware of not just answering things because I've been put in a position where I have a position of influence, but I don't want to influence like the rest of the world. I want to influence the way God wants to influence this. Now I'm thinking, wow, maybe I should start doing this and I might have a more positive outcome if I say, Father, what do you think of this situation? But this is a lady that, that, that in the beginning of the year was down in the dumps. Didn't know where to go. We've been called. It doesn't matter where we are. We've been called. We've been called to speak into others' lives so that they might get saved. It's not up to us. I didn't say, get saved and you'll be fine. I know. I left that for the Holy Spirit to do. And the outcome of that is something that I'm standing back and I say, wow, look at this. Look how God is working in this lady's life. Look how she's taking this into her family. And when she started doing that, her health improved. Say, wow, God, look how awesome this is. When I walk out, I say, Father, continue to build on what you started in her life. I say, thank you, Jesus. Because this is not where she was. You see, God is able to raise people up, even that are down in the dumps. God is able to raise them up. God is able to make the change, but He has called us. And God is waiting. God will bring the opportunity. Every day there will be an opportunity. And all we have to say is yes. And our journeys, like I said, is different. Your journey cannot be mine. Because God has called us. The journey to where we are today is different. My life is not the same as yours. My life didn't start the way yours did. There might be certain similarities, but our lives are different for a reason. Because God knows us. God knows the journey. God has been in control of this journey from the beginning. Abigail, my daughter's journey, is not my journey. It's her journey. She in the week, she called me all in tears. She's busy with experiments and things are just not working out, and she must submit by the end of the month. And. But one can easily be caught up in a lot of things. So I'm busy talking to her, and she's busy telling me what she's busy with. And I don't know how to look from the things that she does and the things that she explains. Goodness, I know of nuts and bolts. I don't know about genetics. That is what I know is what she told me, and I expect that she should know. We paid good money for this. That's it. She says, I said to her, and? She says, Daddy, you know what? The whole day, she says, I've been, just something in my spirit. She says, it's like the Holy Spirit is telling me, just increase this. But there's a doctor that she reports into at the CSR. And he says to her, no, he doesn't think it's that. And she says, you know, the more I'm busy with her, the more these experiments are failing, the Holy Spirit is telling me I should do this. I said, then do it. She says, no, I did. I said, no, good. There we go. You did. Well, how would you know? If you just do what the Holy Spirit tells you, and every day it works, she says, goes out. She says, I read up a little bit about this. It says about this. It says this. But I have to, no. I said, well, then do what the Holy Spirit is telling you. She said, I did. I'm not waiting for the results because it takes a while. The next day she calls me. She says, you know what? It worked. I said, well, amen. It works. So pray more. She said, I am. I said, good. I don't know. I honestly don't know what God's plan is, but at least I know that she's listening to the Holy Spirit. Although she might get despondent, and although she might be sidetracked with her emotions, because she's an emotional being, we've been created like that. So now, but at least she's listening. And when she did listen, and when she did follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit, she had success. I said, well, do more of that. And then God changes the atmosphere. She goes to one of the ladies and also working there. She explains to, because she's got three mentors, all of them doctors and professors. She goes to the one and says, this is what you did. I can't see how that would have had an impact. So forget what she said. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. You got it right. You got the results. There it is. Because sometimes we get we get bogged down and we get intimidated. Of late, I said, Lord, help me not to say things because I'm in a position of authority and people take the things you say very literally. So, Father, help me put a guard in front of my mouth that I might speak so that I can bring forth life, because it's too easy when things go horrible that you become emotional. So work with me on that. I need to get this emotions intact. But the journey is different for each and every one of us. Joshua, 2 weeks ago, got an award for Best Sportsman of the Year. That's cool. I never got Best Sportsman of the Year. Never. That's not my thing. You can see that's not my thing. And I looked at this and I was amazed. In his own way, in his own thing, he does his thing and he succeeds. And he has an impact in people's lives and he touches people's lives. He reaches out to those, especially if it's someone that is sad. He's just like that. He's got a heart like that. And I sat there in the chairs while he's getting his award. Obviously his parents, we are smiling, we are very proud. And I sat there and I said, Father, what is it that you're doing in his life that I have to align myself to? What must I change? Because surely you are busy with him. That's for sure. But there's a misalignment here because I'm sending him to school as if I'm trying to get rid of him every day. What is it that you're busy with there? Because surely you are working. Surely you are impacting. When I hear what people say, surely, God, you are busy. I know that we're raising him, like try to raise him in the fear of the Lord. But Lord, there is something more here. What are you busy with in his life so that I can align my outlook into what you are busy doing? Because it's important. As parents, we have to ask ourselves, Father, what is it that you are saying about my children so that I can align, so because you've given them in my care. So I have to raise them in the fear of the Lord. That's not good enough. What is his plan and what is his purpose? Father, let me align with that. What are you doing with this sportsman of the year? Is there something in it or is there nothing in it? But you, Lord, tell me so that I can align myself with this. Because I realize that each and every one of us are different. And I have a job to do, even in my own son's life, so that he can fulfill that God has called him. Because we were born for a time like this. We are born for a time like this. For me to be here today, there had to be a Leonard Walters and a Christine Walters. Otherwise, I would not be here. It's impossible. For them to be there, there had to be parents before them. And for them to be there, there's a whole generation after generation after generation for you to be where you are today. You are not just here by chance. For Jesus Christ to be born, it had to start somewhere. Because God, before the earth was formed, this was predestined from the beginning. And each and every one of us have been predestined from the beginning. We are not just here by chance. And we are not definitely not at work by chance. We are definitely not involved in what we are involved in by chance. So, yesterday I was reminded of a sermon that I've given just a while ago when I talked about this constant dream of dilapidated houses. This dilapidated house, and I was supposed to help this guy to build this house, and I just couldn't understand it. Was it going to start building houses now? I just didn't understand until the Holy Spirit revealed and said, "But now you're doing what you dreamt." So I stopped having the dreams. I'm busy with that because there are people that I'm involved in where their lives feel like a dilapidated house. And God is saying, help restore that house. And I thought to myself, shit, why didn't I see it in my dream? I could have done this. Meanwhile, I was already busy with it. God is just confirming that is what the dream was. This is what I'm calling you for a time like this. Now, Greg Walters, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to get into. We can write books and all of these things, but it's actually quite simple. We just have to surrender and say yes, Lord. And trust me, in my life, I can tell you it's not always easy to make those decisions. But it becomes easier once you start. I have to say, Lord, I cannot rock up to work and become like everybody else, because if I'm like everybody else, how do people see? If I participate in how bad my company is and how this and how that, and if I participate how bad this person is, then I have given up on those that God has called me to speak life into. If I'm negative, if I'm not inspired, if I'm just giving up, people around me, as a child of God, God has given me everything to succeed. It's time that I link into that, so that when I step out into the world, into the fields that God has called me into, and when I meet people, I can say yes without sitting with the baggage that I carry with me. Say, if the Bible teaches me to take up his yoke, then I better start doing it now. Because we are here by the grace of God. It's his grace that's reaching out to others. And as his children, as we say yes, we start reaching out more. And we start reaching out more. Because we've been called for a time like this. We are not just here. We are here because God has predestined us to be here. And whilst I'm here, do what God has called us to do. Otherwise, you are running out in circles all the time. God brings you back to where he wants you to be. We don't have to run out in circles if we just say yes.
Or we'll trickle away with it. But I will close with this one. The art of saying yes.
And I wondered about this because I said earlier that I thought I'm missing this completely, and I'm hoping that I'm not putting my own thing. And then as I started going through the sermon, I realized it is an art, because sometimes when you start with art, you don't really see the picture, and then eventually the picture forms. Some quicker than others, some not. For some, it's different. For some, it's at the beginning of their journey. For Abigail, it's the beginning of a journey of standing on her own two feet and having to pray and ask God for help and God for guidance. Because God has got a plan. For whatever she's studying now, God's got a plan. The proof is there. God has made open doors, closed doors. She knows she's got to be there. What that journey holds, I don't know. But God knows. And it's for her to link up to God and say, yes, Lord. What God's plan for Joshua is, I don't know. I told you, I'm just astounded by what he achieves, but I don't know. And so I'm praying and I say, Father, that you will speak into his life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. But we've got to say yes. You have to, if you're struggling, if you have to be the Gideon, be the Gideon. If you have to say, Lord, but if this is you speaking, can you just confirm? Then let God do that. Because God is faithful. God knows your heart. God knows where you're at. God knows where you are in your journey. God understands you better than anybody can understand you. So allow Him to then work. Say, Father, help me to change my attitude at work. Let God, allow God to do that. Say, Father, I want to be ambassador for you, but at the moment, Lord, I feel miserable where I am. Deal with me first. So that when I step in, that I can actually go out and be an ambassador. Be a disciple. The journey does not end. It ends one day. It ends one day. One day it will end this journey here on earth. It will come to an end. One day. When? We don't know. I always say to young people, at 70, that's enough. Father, now's the time. Let me go. Now I am 52 years old, and I'm thinking, sure, 70 is around the corner. I've got so much more to do. So, well, time is not in my hands. It's only in God's hands. But for as long, I said to my sister the other day, well, a month ago, I said to my sister, she went through an operation. She was all down in the dumps and everything like that. I said, are you alive? Are you alive? She said, yes, I'm alive. Then I said to her, live. If you're alive, live. If you're not in heaven yet, live. Live the life that God has called you for, live. And I said to her, these obstacles that come your way is only just the obstacles that come your way. But you're alive. You are breathing. Live. Trust in God and live. We've been called. We've been called to make a difference. We've been called to display the grace of God to others. We've been called to pray the grace of God upon people's lives that don't know Him. We have to say yes. If we call ourselves children of God today, we have to say yes. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as much, Father God, as we call ourselves children of God. This morning, even personally, Lord, I have to admit that I've got shortcomings. But Father God, by your grace, I know that I can come to your throne. I can ask for forgiveness. And I know also, Lord God, that you've got a plan and a purpose for my life, as well as each and every one sitting here today. Whatever that obstacle is, Lord God, to get to the yes, you will just in each and every one of us speak into our lives. Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, speak into our lives through others, through the working of your Holy Spirit in our own lives, through dreams. I pray, Father God, that you will use every way possible to speak life into us so that we can step out into the world and make disciples of those that don't know. Help us, Heavenly Father God, to surrender more so that you can work through us. Help us, Lord God, to say yes to you. In Jesus' name.